Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. I'm going to say I'm sorry for not doing a show last night, but I'm not really sorry because I met with celebrity interviewer, celebrity author, and best-selling author of Grace Revealed, Greg Archer, in Long Beach last night. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a picture of Greg and I. We were able to get a selfie. His picture turned out markedly better than the one I asked the hostess to take of us. But we had a great time catching up. You'll remember Greg as the king of pop culture roulette all of last year until he called and says, I've been called by a higher purpose to go write this book. And so he traveled to Poland and Chicago and traced his family history and has this fantastic book that's out in stores now. And he's looking, you know, I don't think I'm speaking out of line, but he's looking to shop it and make it into a movie. So it's really cool. And I really enjoyed last night. So didn't even do a replay. I said, I'm not even going to do it. We're not going to do that. But tonight, we've got a hot new original episode right here for you. We're going to be talking to Mr. Brandon Bailey in just a second. He's got a fantastic new coffee table book he's going to tell us all about and all of the cool things that he's got going on. He's edible, too. We're going to ask him about that. Just a real quick preview for the rest of the week in case you would like to make sure to follow us on the Blog Talk page. Rob Watson, he's an LGBT dad who is going to be on our show from Santa Cruz, California tomorrow night. I had the pleasure of being on his show on Saturday night called Out in Santa Cruz, and we did a premiere for Gay Wedding up in that area. Thursday, we are doing a two-hour spectacular. We never do a two-hour show on Thursday, but you're going to hear Andy O'Connor. She's a young adult fantasy author, you know, like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, that type of thing. She's going to be on the show in hour one, and then an unheard of, unprecedented hour two, we've got Adara Ostiak, who's going to be on the show. She's a singer-songwriter in Los Angeles, and she's got a great new set that's coming up at Genghis Khan the following week. So we're going to kind of showcase her music and hear a little bit about her story and hopefully sell some tickets for her. And then on Friday, crazy start time. The Friday night dance party starts at 9 a.m. That's how crazy of a day it's going to be. But we're going to have French on Friday, the group that sings Careless Whisper with George Michael's approval. They're going to be calling in from Austria. That's right, Austria, in the UK at 9 a.m. That's Pacific Standard Time. So I encourage you to set your clocks back if you sleep in past 9 o'clock. You really need to be up by that hour anyway. But tune in on Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun. Tonight, however, we have a supermodel, and I would say from the runway to magazines to events worldwide, tonight's guest, Brandon Cole Bailey. He's taking the world by storm. He's here to talk about his new coffee table book called It's Really Ken, and he's going to tell us what it's like to be a supermodel and edible. Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Now, you're calling in from New York City tonight. You are hosting an event that's there, so we're just going to get you for a little bit of time tonight, but I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about your book and all the really cool things that are happening in your life. So thanks for taking time out of your other stuff that you're working on back there to be here on Rated G Radio. So do me a real quick favor, since this is our first time to chat and our listeners' first time to hear you, can you do us a favor and just kind of tell us who Brandon is? And, you know, a little bit about growing up or, you know, how you started to get into modeling and, you know, bring us up to current day. What's going on with you?
Okay, cool. So I started in the business 4 years ago. Before that, I was a musical theater major. I went to Harrison School of Art and I did dance, theater, and acting. Dance, theater, and vocal. I did that from kindergarten till about, and in 10th grade, I early graduated college.
Cool.
And then from college, I graduated with my AA at 17 years old from Polk State Collegiate College in Florida. And from there, I was scouted to model, Ben's Models, that's my mother agency. And I went to Tampa and modeled in Tampa for a good half a year and then went to Miami and modeled for a month. And then from there, I was sent to New York. And from there, it all began with international campaigns and whatnot.
You make that sound so easy, Brandon.
It definitely wasn't easy, but
okay.
Can I
take you back to when you were young? Because you said you started out going to school for, you know, singing and dancing and acting and things like that. Did you have a parent or a parental figure in your life that was kind of pushing you along, or were you always kind of an entertainer growing up? Brandon, I think I lost your cell phone here. We're going to give Brandon just a second here to see if we can get his line cleared up. This is the joy of live radio, folks. You know, technology sometimes happens, and that's kind of what happened here. He's dropped off the line, and he's calling from a quiet location in the building that he's at in New York City so we can do the interview tonight. So sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, kind of working with the system of how things are, you know, dialed in, and cell phones can be a little tricky sometimes, you know, in some buildings. I know driving around L.A., there are pockets like on La Cienega where no matter what you do, you're just not going to get a cell signal. And you're like, here I am in downtown Los Angeles. How in the heck am I not getting a clear signal? I should be able to call anytime I want, anywhere I want. I'm in Los Angeles, for goodness sakes. And, of course, you know, you're, you know, looking around to get a cell tower signal to save your life. You know, same thing on the iPad. You know, you look around and you think, okay, I'm in downtown. I can check my email or go play, you know, Clash of Clans or Boom Beach, something like that. And, you know, your little spinny thing for the signal just goes around and around and around. But anyway, let's get back. It looks like Brandon just called back in. Don't you love cell service sometimes, Brandon?
I do love it. I love how you can have almost full bars and it just cuts out on you.
Goes away. It's like nothing. Yeah. So my question for you before we had some those fun technical difficulties here was, you know, when you did you have somebody that was in your life that was encouraging you to be this creative monster, or were you always that way?
You know, I did have a very supportive family. They always told me I could do whatever I wanted to do with my life. And I must say, though, as a child, I thought it was really cool because I always wanted to be that kid on Disney or that kid on Nickelodeon. And so I think from there, I started with the musical theater. And
did you ever have stage fright?
You know what? I did. I actually started singing when I was in kindergarten. So when I got to middle school is when, you know, those crazy nerves kick in and you're like,
oh, yeah,
growing up and hitting puberty and all these things.
So what did you do to overcome that? It's probably so second nature to you now, but
you know what, something somebody taught me once, and when I was in musical theater at Harrison School for the Arts, is that the more prepared you are, the less nervous you will be. So if you
Excellent.
Have a song that you're performing or you have a play that you're performing, the more that you've rehearsed that and the more prepared you are, the less nervous you're going to be. So if you're prepared, you're never going to be nervous.
I love that. That's great advice.
Yeah.
How has that helped you?
I thought it was really great, too.
How has that helped you in your career?
You know, it's helped a great deal because if I were to always be nervous, I don't think I would have made it as far as I made it, being like with catwalks and shows and posting for parties of thousands and whatnot. Sometimes it gets like a little exhausting, but if you have a lot of nerves, I feel like that would be more exhausting.
Oh, very good. Well, good point. So let me ask you this. It's because you are a supermodel, that's what I'm calling you, and so therefore you are. You're this male supermodel.
Sweet.
Did you have to go to like a modeling school where they taught you how to do your walks and turns and things like that?
No, actually. You know what's surprising about that is there's so many fake agencies out there that children get pulled into. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, your son's a star, your daughter's a star, let him go to our school. You just have to pay us, you know, so much money and he can go here. Those are actually all fake, because the way it
works.
Wow. Yeah, and I say that with most respect to all of them, because, you know, that's how they make their living and that's great. But at the end of the day, they scam all these kids into thinking, you know, and anybody can do whatever they want to put their heart to, but they think that they have to go to school to be a model. And truly, it's something that you're given. Like, it's a talent or a gift that you're given. And you can always work on that, but you can't go to school for it.
So did you – so have you always had, like, this Zoolander gene in you where you can just make the face and then, you know, people just melt?
I do love that. That's awesome. It's actually something I developed when I first came to New York. I had more of a commercial look before I came to New York, and they decided, you know, we're going to take Brandon into a meeting, and we're going to show him different facial expressions and what he can do. And so I did this one look that my agent, Kevin Holloman, at Adam Models in New York took, and it was just amazing. From there, when I saw that and it blew up on Tumblr and it blew up on Instagram and it blew up on Facebook, I always decided to use that look. Like, it's not always the same look, because through the eyes, you can always tell a different story.
Sure.
And an image should always tell a story, or else it's boring. So for me...
You are so right.
Yeah, for me, it's very important that I tell a story through every picture that I take, whether it be for a commercial job such as like JCPenney's or Kohl's, or for a high fashion job.
So as a high-powered supermodel here, Brandon, do you have any type of creative control over the pictures that the client uses, or you just kind of have to hope that they don't pick the one where you're cross-eyed?
You know what? Surprisingly enough, at this point in my career, I have a lot of say in most things I do. Before, you know, I was just seen as a normal model and, you know, you go here, you do this at this time, and you do this at this time. Now I have, you know, a branding for myself. It's really Ken, and online following that I've created, and all these fans from this image that I've created, which is great. And it gives me, like, so much more respect from people to see that, like, I can be something more than that. Like, I can create a book. I can create more than just an image.
Well, I want to talk about your book, but before we get to that, because you have said something that I've been dying to ask you ever since we got you scheduled for the show. How do you come up with your branding for you? Your name is Brandon, and it's called, and everything you do is called It's Really Ken. I love that, but what is it, and why is it Really Ken?
So, you know what's really surprising about that is, everybody thinks that It's Really Ken means, you know, a Ken doll.
But, I was going to think
that,
but yeah.
That is what it means, and that is what it means. But, you know, when you think that, you think, you know, it's a Ken doll, he thinks he's pretty, so that's why? Or do you think there's something more to Ken?
Interesting. So you're out to prove, hopefully, that there's more to Ken than just the pretty exterior.
Yeah, so my whole thing behind that was I'm going to play it off, and I'm going to let people think that it's because I think that I'm pretty or whatever they want to think about it for a while. So I did. But eventually when I came out with my book, I stated in the book, Ken has such a deeper meaning. We are all Kens and Barbies. We're all dressed by everyday life and society. And you know, other people's opinions dress us. Other people's opinions are the ones that, you know, make us act how we act. And so it's society dresses us like a Barbie. Society dresses us like a Ken doll. So to me, it was so much more than just a doll and just a pretty female figure. It was somebody, a symbol for everyday life.
What a great social statement that is.
Thank you.
So at what point do you say, you know, I'm this supermodel here in New York and I do all of these campaigns and do all this good stuff. You know, I don't have enough on my plate. I'm going to do a book. When did this come about for you?
You know what? I was thrown totally off guard by it. But a good friend of mine is owns several businesses in New York City. And him and I were out to lunch one day. And we were sitting there thinking, like, you know, what if there was something that people could sell to their fans and that makes them feel more intimate and more a part of their life on social media? And, you know, we were talking about it, and we were like, well, somebody just came out with a book of a coffee table book, a good friend of ours. And I was like, well, what if I used or created a book with all of my best work throughout the years with all the top photographers and sell that to my fans so they can feel more intimate, like they were there and they were a part of it and a part of my journey even more than they've already been through social media such as Instagram or Facebook.
So now this has been out probably since like January or something like that. You've gotten 5-star reviews on Amazon. I'm on your Amazon site right now, so that's really cool. So when we say coffee table book, how big is the coffee table book? What's kind of the size of it?
I'd say, you know, I don't know the exact measurements. I guess I should know that. I'm sorry. If you've ever had a geography book in school, that would be about the exterior size. And the interior is about 71 pages.
Cool. Now, do you tell any stories or humorous anecdotes or anything like that with the pictures that you've picked in there? Or is it just pretty much just pictures?
It's pretty much pictures, but it tells a story through the pictures. Like, they're laid out very, very meaningfully. And the end is shot by Damon Baker, who is a good friend and a famous photographer who shoots Vogue and Louis Vuitton and all the celebrities of today. And at the beginning, there's a story explaining the true meaning of It's Really Kim. And it gives a really good insight to my life and what It's Really Kim means. And it kind of helps people realize a different meaning to life almost.
So I have to ask you, Brandon, it just sounds like everything in your life up to this point has been sunshine and roses and just such a cakewalk. Have you had any struggles that you've had to contend with growing up or, you know, getting to where you're at today?
You know what's funny about that is, like, people can always make their life look beautiful from the outside. And as a model in this career, and I can say this now because I have been doing it and I've been there and now I'm creating a whole new world, it hasn't always been rainbows and sunshine and candy land. I did have an interesting childhood. I think the most important thing for anyone is to be professional. And as a professional, you don't need to share your personal life with others. And so I try to keep my family and my story out of the spotlight and all of that because I had an amazing family. I had amazing friends growing up, but I did have a lot of struggles throughout my childhood. I think the best thing a professional can do is try to keep their personal life personal and their business life business.
Well, I mean, it certainly makes it a lot cleaner. So there go my next 50 questions. I'm done. No, I'm kidding. So when you... when you're building an empire like this, especially at a young age, when, because I want to talk about your candy bar, too, because you just posted something about that on Facebook or Instagram
today.
I am so intrigued by this. So everybody, if you didn't know this, Brandon is edible. He's got a candy bar that has his name on it. It's actually on my Facebook page. So if you're friends with me or fans on the radio page, you can go there and take a look at that and then go online and actually order Brandon's candy bar, which is really, really cool. So how do you go from high-powered supermodel to candy bar guy? Because this is cool.
You know, it's quite interesting how this happened too. It's almost like the book. When I was in California doing my red carpet event for the book, the owner of Sweet was there, Sweet Hollywood, next to the Chinese Theater in the Plaza. And he came up and he was like, do you want to go over to the store and make a candy bar? And I felt like a kid instantly. I felt like a kid instantly again. I was like, what? What just happened? He wants me to come make a candy bar? And of course I was like, yeah, of course I do. So we went over to the store and I went into the back to the factory where they make the chocolate. And he let me pick out my own ingredients and everything else. And I made it. And then he was like, you know, we have RuPaul's bar here and Britney's bar and Madonna. And so would you like to have your bar here as well? And I was like, yeah, actually, that would be amazing. So that went into production. 2 weeks later, it's out and on sale.
How cool is that? So I've got the website pulled up here, and it's sweetlosangeles.com is the webpage that's pulling up here for Brendan's Candy Bar. But why did you pick the ingredients that you picked for the candy bar, and can you tell us what they are?
Yeah, I picked peanut butter, milk chocolate, Cocoa Krispies, Rice Krispies, and that would be because those are my favorite childhood snacks. Oh, also chopped peanuts.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds delicious. So how much does the candy bar go for?
It goes for $8 online. Part of it will be going to a charity. I'm still trying to decide which charity I want it to go to. There are a lot of really good ones out there, and I would like to support all of them, but sadly I can't. So I have to pick a few. And part of the proceeds will be going to charity, and the others will be going towards my career, which means me and my friends and family.
Well, you shouldn't be a nonprofit. You're too young in life to say, I'm going to work for free or I'm going to do something for free. But it is cool that you give back and you're going to be sharing some of the profits with charity. I think that's really, really cool. So if you go to, sweetlosangeles.com, you just look up the Brandon Cole Bailey bar for $7.99. And you get a hot little picture of him shirtless lying down, and so you know you can keep the, I'm assuming, the wrapper or the packaging, put it on your computer, or put it on your whiteboard next to the computer, and so you can have Brandon with you all the time, and then you can eat his candy bar, which is really, really cool. So I would encourage you to do that. But they've got a lot of fun stuff on there. But tonight's really about you. So what would you like? Because we've got about 8 minutes left before we're going to send Brandon back upstairs to his big party that he's hosting. So in that time, Brandon, let's do a couple of things. Let's tell everybody where they can find you on social media and how to correctly connect with you.
Okay, cool. So my Instagram is, it's really Ken, ItsReallyKen. My Twitter is Brandon Cole Bailey 1, and my Facebook is Brandon Cole Bailey. I do have a fan page up on there, so if you guys don't mind going to the fan page, because if I try to have you all on my personal one, then I won't be able to accept anyone, and they will turn it into a fan page again.
Yeah, there you go. So what kind of things do you like to post about?
I like to post, you know, some more intimate things on my social media, like my everyday life and what's going on and, you know, what exciting thing happened today or this week or this month and what I'm thankful for. I like it to be real. Like, my social media is very real. It's not tainted. I don't have my PR lets me post whatever I want to post. He doesn't take control over that. So it's very real. And that's something I want to stress to everyone. It's like, being real is the most important thing that you can do.
I love that, especially, you know, from your motto and just your whole mantra is being authentic, and I think that's really cool for you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Where do you see yourself going? I mean, you're building this little empire here, and it's starting to just mushroom. Where do you see yourself like a year from now, 5 years from now?
Well, I'd like to continue with my brand, but I'm still young, so I obviously would like to get to a point where I'm doing all of the campaigns I've ever dreamed of doing. I would like to accomplish that before I keep moving on, because with me, it's funny. I'm always wanting more and more and more, and I always want to continue in such a short period of time. So, you know, I see myself still working as a model, but also still building my brand. And I hope to, you know, be able to touch more people throughout the time, and hopefully I'll gain a bigger following, so that way I have more impact in the messages I want to get across. Because that's also another big thing I forgot to mention, is I just started a YouTube channel, and it's called Brandon Cole Bailey, Diary of a Misfit Model. And on there, you know, I just stress the importance of being yourself and not letting other people put you down, and continuing towards your dreams and goals. And I'm a misfit. Everyone's a misfit. Everybody has something different about them.
So do you have, with your schedule, as crazy it is, Brandon, with the YouTube channel, your best-selling coffee table book, your new candy bar that's out, what do you do for fun that's just for you, not having to share with anybody else?
You know what? That's really hard, because my favorite thing to do used to be to go surfing, and that's when I lived in Florida. Here in New York, it seems that I'm always working, but that is my favorite thing to do, because I do what I love.
Well, I love that answer, because I'm right there with you, but, you know, do you find time to, like, get a massage or go to a movie, or do you have a favorite restaurant that you like to go to? You know, fun stuff.
Yes, I love going and getting massages. I love facials. I love, you know, getting my nails done. Thai massages are the best massages.
Why
that's
is that?
My favorite passing time. Well, I just love they like stand on your back and they really dig in there.
Oh my gosh,
feels good.
I've got to do that. Oh my gosh,
you
that
have
sounds
to.
Awesome.
Thai massage. They have a really good place in Hollywood.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that offline, because I totally would be up for that. So
yeah, for
with
sure.
A couple minutes left here, any last closing thoughts to friends, family, fans, any shout-outs that you want to give? And then I'm going to let you get back upstairs to your event, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, you know, say I have an amazing mother, Kimberly Sheffield. My grandmother is, you know, unbeatable, Peggy Sheffield. All of my family is absolutely amazing and supportive and has always been there to support me and push me to keep going. My mother agent and manager, who is like a second mother to me here, Alexander, is absolutely perfect and flawless in every way, shape, and form. So similar, one of my best friends. My best girlfriend, who was always with me through everything throughout high school and now today in my career, Tati Maluda. Everybody that's been a part of my journey, even my fans and followers on social media, I'd like to say thank you so much, because it means so much to me that you guys are there for me and support me.
Do you have a fan club?
I do for YouTube now. It's called Misfit.
Okay.
Misfit.
So everybody needs to go be a Misfit then. Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
Brandon, it's been great chatting with you. I hope you come back. I know that you're busy, but I would love to leave the door open for any time you want to come back. We'll talk modeling, maybe modeling disaster stories or things, you know, fun things that we can really, you know, dive deep into. We won't have to dish on any names or anything like that, but we can talk about anything
yeah,
that you want.
Yeah, I'd love to share that with everyone. Of
cool.
course. That sounds fun.
Right on. So,
for sure.
Everybody, we're going to be right back after this. This is Gay Wedding. It's my song, which drops on Friday. And, Brandon, it's been a pleasure having you here. You have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you so much.
Not safe to done. Hey, Mr. Mr. Second to no one. We've been together so long. Vows make the day so strong. No matter the state that you're from, it's a nice day to start again.
Come on,
it's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Our hearts are bright with this love. Hearts are light with this love. And you crave at night for this love. And you give your all for this love. And you know you're good with this love.
There we go, everybody. That's Gay Wedding by me. Yes, it's available this Friday for download on Amazon, iTunes, wherever fine music is downloadable, you can find it. And our special guest tonight is Mr. Brandon Cole Bailey. He is a supermodel. He's written a coffee table book. He's got a candy bar that's out with his body on it today. All of that exciting news happened in the first part of the show. You can also buy Brandon's book on Amazon. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio with Rated G Radio, there's a link on the show page. You just click that, and it will take you right there. You can buy his book tonight at $65. It's a hardcover coffee table book. Great for your living or family rooms, wherever you sit and entertain. Go buy the book. And if you're listening tonight on Chat and Spin Radio or Westar Radio Network in the UK, thank you very much for including us on your drive home. I hope you enjoy the show. And if you would like to make a guest request or a song request, simply send me an email at garrett@garrettmiller.com. You can also like the Rated G Radio fan page on Facebook, and it's my pleasure to make those requests come true as I possibly can. We're in for a special treat. Little did I know, we're going to have Hollywood director Robert Rollins available tonight, but Robert is busy working on a second movie that he is just getting all kinds of storyboards and all kinds of other things worked up for, and he's taking time out of his busy production schedule to call in and just kind of give us some updates. So, Robert, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm crazy, but, this is a good kind of crazy for me, and I understand that you've got a lot of good things happening in your world right now. Can you tell everybody what's been going on since the last time we had you on the show?
Well, I'm finishing up my first feature film, Dream Country, which we talked about in early January. We're about done. We're just waiting on certain things for the edit, like the title sequence, final music, a little bit of color correction, and sound design, and then we're done.
Cool.
The really good news that happened is that I started a discussion with a producer's rep in 2013. Now, for people who don't know what a producer's rep is, it's kind of like an agent. And and they represent independent filmmakers to help them find distribution and outlets and cable and everything else. And Jeff, and this is Jeff Porter of Porter Pictures, who is representing me, he was one of the people, like J.T. Tempsonpah, who you had on a few months ago about his movie.
Yeah.
I had all these people that were in the industry, Mark Sevy from the OT Screenwriters. They all said, you need to finish your first feature film. It may be an anthology, but everybody wants to see you finish something before they gamble on your next project. So this is a big thing to get done, and it's taken me a long time to finish, as you know. I think it's probably been about 7 years to finish this film. So we're at the end game, and to have representation now to be able to take it to the markets of, let's say, cable. It's really exciting to have that and that belief. And they're also helping me with Lanterns of the Dead, which we've talked about a couple of times on the show.
So for those, Robert, who are hearing you for the first time tonight, can you kind of give a little trilogy synopsis of, you know, what you've been working on? Also, because, you know, you'd mentioned that it's been like a 7 year, I mean, call it the 7 year itch, but it's been about 7 years to get the production to where it's at today. Can you kind of tell us, you know, why that is? I mean, I know because we're friends and I've talked to you outside of this, but for people who are maybe budding filmmakers or thinking about doing stuff or maybe just stuck where they're at, you know, what's kind of been your journey a little bit?
Well, the choice of making Dream Country, it is an anthology, much like the Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone or The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury, which they adapted into a movie, or there's a lot of type of anthology movies that are out there, but they don't come out all that often. So I felt that, okay, that's something new you could go into and make over a period of time. And part of that over a period of time, I had pre-knowledge of Sam Raimi took about 5 years to make his first feature film, which was Evil Dead. Peter Jackson took about the same amount of time to make his first movie, Brain Dead. I may have the name wrong there, but the reason for it takes so long is that when you're an independent filmmaker, you're financing this all out of your pocket. Sometimes people come in to help you, but the money is not always available. The actors are not always available. The equipment and everything else are not always there. So instead of waiting on the cast and doing it over a period of time, I said, okay, I'm going to make an anthology picture like a Twilight Zone where you enter this world called Dream Country, which is like ours, but not like ours. And you have like a Rod Sterling character named Elias to take you on this journey through this world and introduce these pieces by, if you cross a bridge, you enter a dream. And that's the reason why I made this film as a choice for my first feature film instead of a straight narrative piece, because I knew I could make the individual featurettes over a time period without killing myself or my entire team.
Well, I mean, that's the key, you know, and I think that's for a lot of folks, especially the indie market, you know, and I think we get a lot of independent musicians. We have a lot of people, you know, at some point writing a book or a series of books, maybe writing a screenplay, or maybe they're filmmakers like you, you know, and I think a lot of times they think, oh, well, everybody does it, you know, this way or whatever, and I'm all alone. And I think that the story that you tell, Robert, is probably more common than, you know, we think. And we also, I think a lot, I may be speaking incorrectly, so if I am, I apologize, the rest of middle America, but I think pretty much everybody else around the country thinks, oh, well, it just magically happens in L.A. if you're in L.A., and, you know, there's a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears that you've put into this project over the course of the years, and you're still, you know, getting the financing or, you know, wrapping up special effects or you're doing this. There's always something else going on. It's not like just somebody, you know, rolls out and says, oh, Robert's got a movie, let's give him $10 million and we'll see you when it's done.
No, you're absolutely right. It takes time, and that's kind of what I said at the beginning. You know, you have to finish one to be able to make the next one.
Yeah.
Because it is your credibility, it is your track record. I think it proves not only to them that you can do it, because, you know, part of it is you're proving to them that you made an actual feature film, you've made it on a limited budget. So when they're handing you, let's say, $2 million to make your next feature film, they know that it's going to be well spent instead of just being blown by someone who doesn't really understand production or timetables or anything else. So it's really a baptism of fire, so to speak. But I think the key thing for any kind of filmmaker, model, since you're just talking to Brandon, and to writers or musicians, there's a saying that I've always held very tightly to myself. Never surrender dreams.
If you do, it just ends up being, you know, you give it up, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, I know through enough conversation with you, Robert, you know, you've got a whole variety of different projects that you've envisioned that you want to work on or have, you know, laid the foundations for. So I'm very excited to see all of these things come true for you. And if anybody's out there that, you know, is working as hard as Robert is, I think they'll be successful also. So it's really fun to do that. Before I let you go, do you want to give us any other updates or share other cool things that are going on in your world?
There's a couple of things that are happening. My photography has recently gotten a lot of recognition. I'm selling my photographs a lot from my Yosemite stuff.
They're awesome.
Thank you. It's really exciting to have and mind you, this is only a hobby. This is just something fun because I used to do a lot of watercolors, so this is another way of telling stories through pictures. And I shoot differently than a lot of people. I like to shoot at a 16:9 ratio, which is basically a film ratio, even though I may do portraits and I'll cut it down to a normal portrait ratio. But I like, when I do a landscape, I like it 16:9 because it tells the whole story like you're seeing it on a movie screen. So I try to do that. And using the composition and trying to tell a story through a photograph as a still, it is a challenge. And that's led me to a possible interview, which I don't want to disclose just yet.
No, but let's not talk about that yet. Let's make sure it's the right, yep.
Yeah, and then I'm also going to, when I'm going back up to Yosemite within the next month, I'm also going to be making a pseudo-adventure documentary called On the Diving Board, which is a semi-dangerous hike, and part of it is going up to the diving board to take a picture of Half Dome, and you're literally next to the face of Half Dome, so you're almost like you're standing next to a skyscraper. Now,
the reason why this is important
is because from that vantage point, Ansel Adams, who was one of Yosemite's famous photographers, took a picture from there, and that was his first really famous photograph.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to do kind of like an adventure story of going there and showing, you know, kind of like the dangers of it. But it's just going to be a mini short, not like Dream Country. But it's a way of continuing on with learning new film techniques that I wouldn't typically do because most of my storytelling is long form, which is considerably different than this. But it's kind of, you know, it's kind of reality. But it's kind of an adventure, but it's not like a reality show, that kind of stuff. It's just showing what it's like to get up there and how people who are hikers like myself, a normal trail is fine, but when you're using a use trail, or as they call it, a social trail, you have to do a lot of bushwhacking to get up to it or bouldering to get to a certain point that could be dangerous.
Ugh. Well, I know you like the camping and the rugged stuff. I'm more of the, I'd like to go to the Hilton and I'll be down at the pool. So I respect you for that.
I'll deliver you a champagne bottle then.
Yeah, oh, there we go. So follow-up question on the photography. I know recently, and I say recently, so it could be 5 months ago, but recently you went out and bought some new camera equipment to help in, I say help, you didn't need the help, but, you know, to have fun with doing your still photography. Can you tell us about your camera and why you picked that particular model, make, size, lenses, and stuff like that? I'm fascinated because, you know, I'd like to claim to, I can take a picture every once in a while, but mine pale by comparison to yours, Robert.
Well, I was taking for a while using a Canon PowerShot, and in 2013, I actually felt like I was becoming a photographer, learning those skills, learning framing, because shooting stills is very different than shooting motion pictures. And and then when I was up in Yosemite this last time, I kind of toyed around with my iPhone and got some good pictures with that. And I was noticing that with the HDR, I was getting a lot crisper pictures and a higher resolution than the older camera that I had. So I said, okay, I need something that all right. Funny story, and this is, and Garrett and I've had long talks about this, and a lot of people didn't know this part. A little trivia. Initially, Garrett was chatting with me about doing his music video as a director. Because of scheduling, I couldn't do it. but one of the outgrowths of it is that one of the conversations that I had with the producer said, well, do you have a camera? And I said, no, I don't have a camera because a lot of times my director of photography provides that equipment. But it kind of got me thinking in lines of my photography that to be able to continue doing a professional career in between my feature films, I should get a real camera, both for just for my enjoyment as photography, but also as a director, because a lot of independent filmmakers or independent musicians will want you to come direct their films, but they won't have the financing to be able to do rent equipment or anything else. So a lot of times a director or director of photography will provide that. So I had to think of, okay, what's going to be good for me both video-wise and photography-wise. So talking with a few friends, I decided to get a Canon EOS 70D camera. And
wow.
I've been experimenting with all these things. I like to use for panoramic stuff or beauty shots, I like to use a wide lens because you can't really get the whole valley of Yosemite with a long lens. That I use a lot for, more for close-ups or something like that, flowers or bugs, or if I want to get distance or something like that, I use the long lens. But it was, I have to say thank you, Garrett, for making me get that camera.
You are welcome. I didn't know I was the genesis of that, but I'll sure take it because your pictures really are spectacular. You know, and we're friends also on Facebook, so I can see some of the pictures that you post every once in a while. And every time you post something, I'm like, holy cow, that can't be like a real picture. Because, you know, of course, there would be a fake picture. What is a fake picture? It's a picture somebody still had to take at some point. But I keep saying, that can't be a real picture because this is just so beautiful. But that's what you do. You take these amazing pictures. Just really impressed with all
of
that.
Thank you. You know, some of it is, you know, some of it is talent and training. You know, I went to school for filmmaking, so I have that understanding. And also my animation background gave me the ability to understand composition and knowing about life. But it's also, you know, luck and getting out into it. The higher you get, the better pictures you get. Or there's a lot of people, I mean, I know, I have friends that say, well, I don't make good pictures like that. And they're photographers sometimes, or they are, they're photographers in all fairness. But a lot of times they say, well, I don't get that same kind of picture. I'm in the same environment that you are. And I say, well, you tell me your stories about being a photographer, and there's nothing wrong with how you do it. But you got to get out of your car. You can't just drive, oh, this is pretty, walk 5 feet and snap a picture. You have to get out in nature. You got to take the chance. You got to put up the mosquitoes. You got to take the risk. And it's not really a super big risk, but you just got to do it. And that's part of the fun. But you also cannot be the same kind of person that you live constantly through your camera. You got to learn to pet the whale. And what I say that is that there are people, sometimes when you go out whale watching, the whales will come up and they'll want to pet you. They want to be entertained just like the dolphins. But you're going out on these whale cruises and everybody has their phones, their iPhones or their cameras going, and they're taking pictures, but they're missing this wonderful opportunity to pet a whale. So when you're in Yosemite, sure, you're taking pictures, but don't live through your camera. A camera is just an extension of you. Take it with you and find the moment. But you can't live through it because you're going to miss it. I've known people that have had kids, and they find the whole production of videotaping the kids, and they're so busy about the production, they miss the event of that child being born. So learn when to take a picture instead of multiple pictures and then enjoy the time of
enjoy the rest of your time. I love that. Everybody, it's been Robert Rollins, director and filmmaker. He's been our surprise special guest tonight. We're going to play a song that's requested by Bill out of upstate New York. This is a little Kelly's Lot, and I'm hoping I'm cueing the right song called Don't Take My Blues Away. We'll be right back after this.
I can't say that I love you more.
I told you before the break it was Don't Give My Blues Away by Kelly's Lot, but that song is actually called Right Now. I've got, here's the problem, or challenge. It's not a problem, it's just because I love all of her music, but I've mislabeled one of her songs in my studio when I uploaded all the music, and whenever I play that particular song thinking it's, you know, whatever it's labeled as, it's like, oh, that's the song, I've got to go and relabel that so I'll remember next time that it's really Don't Take My Blues Away. And I forget every single time. So that was a treat from Kelly's Lot Right Now. Again, a big thanks to Brendan Cole Bailey, international model and author tonight. If you'd like to buy his book on Amazon, you can go buy his book, It's Really Ken. Just like it sounds, It's Really Ken. And you can buy that on Amazon tonight and have that sent to your home as a nice little coffee table book. There, if you're listening on the Rated G Radio show on Blog Talk, you can just simply click the show link and it will take you to the Amazon page and you can just, you know, click it and buy it tonight. Also, big thanks to Robert Rollins, Hollywood director and filmmaker, for coming in to talk about his movies Dream Country and the other was photography and the other things that he's working on. That's very, very cool as well. Well, real quick reminder, if you're listening on West Star Radio in the UK, number one, thank you very much for tuning in on your drive home. Don't drive distracted. On Wednesday's show, we've got Rob Watson. He is an LGBT dad out of Santa Cruz, California. We're going to talk to him about what it's like being a father. And he's got junior high school kids, so you can just imagine all the stuff that he's going through. He also hosts a very popular show on Saturday nights called Out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM. Talk about a professional show. It was really, really cool to be a guest on that this last week. But we'll also talk about Proposition 8 and voting things for his district and all of that cool stuff. Thursday, a rare, never done, I don't know if I've never done it, so I'll say rare. A rare two-hour broadcast. We've got Andy O'Connor, young adult fantasy author. If you like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and that type of thing, you will love Andy's interview with us on Thursday. That's hour one. And in hour two, we have musician Adara Ostiak, who is going to be playing a new music showcase at Genghis Cohen in Los Angeles on May 21st. And she's going to be showcasing her music with us first and that's Thursday the 14th, and a special Thursday dance party. There we go. And Friday morning, super early, 9 a.m. Pacific time, we've got the Austrian group, French on Friday. We're going to be playing 6 songs from their new album, but we're going to be featuring the George Michael / Wham song, Careless Whisper, that they have done a cover on and gotten George Michael's blessing on. In the first hour that it was up on YouTube, it got like 100,000 hits. It was just crazy, crazy. So they are graciously going to be phoning in. It's early for me. It's late for them. I think it's probably like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock p.m. their time, but we're going to do it at 9 a.m. I don't know how to use the clock. It can't be that late over there. Probably like 6 or 7 p.m. in Austria, and we'll be having them on the Friday show early. We've got a full rest of your month as well. If there's somebody that you would like to have on the show that hasn't been on yet, or if you've been a guest and think, boy, that was fun, I would have somebody else, like me, be on the show if I could, tell them to call me or, you know, get us connected on Facebook or whatever. We will make it happen. I would love to book them for late June, early July, something like that. That's where we're booking guests at the present time. Also, if you like the show, you can also download the show on iTunes as a podcast. You can listen to your show or this show anytime you want on the treadmill, in the car, whatever you want to do, make the show your own and listen when it's convenient for you, as you so expertly do all of the time. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a little replay of Gay Wedding. You're going to get the first minute or two of that before the show ends tonight. Don't drive distracted, folks. Love having you here. Anything that we can do to make this a funner show for you, let me know. It shall be done. Here's Gay Wedding by me. Buy it Friday.
Listening to Rated G Radio.